Okay, let's figure out the wiring situation. So it doesn't look like I have a car bomb.
Good Christ.
Hello humans, welcome to Audio Face. Hey. Being recorded in a absolutely normal setting in which we are sitting as we usually do in Sean's apartment that happens to also be a parking garage inside of my car. So we're recording this podcast from
Santa Monica and
that was a lie.
Whoa.
Now Waze is just being Waze. Wait, right,
what?
Now. We're in a parking garage.
Do you want to restart this?
No, this is good. Let's just keep going.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we are currently in a parking garage right now.
Trying
to get home, and we decided to record the podcast in the car right home because this is Los Angeles.
We didn't want to be brought to you by Frontier Communications, so we decided to do it in a car.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Frontier Communications, which is America's least reliable internet provider. And so we couldn't really record at home because we would need the internet and we would need to, like, go around and do our research because, you know, we prep for y'all. We prep.
Do it for the people.
Yeah, but another interesting thing that happened this week, in addition to the fact that there is no internet that we really had access to, what's also happening is that there isn't a lot happening when it comes to music and news at all. Like,
not this week, not really.
The most notable thing that happened this week that I would bother talking about is the fact that Talking Monster is about to have a new album coming out, and she released a single as well, and that was pretty good. But, like, this entire week, I've been, like, messaging Sean going, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's in major going on.
Usually, like, by this point, by Thursday or so, we record on Saturdays, by Thursday, we know what we're going to talk about for music, right?
Basically, yeah, we have it, like, written down in our Drive folder. We share it, you know, get the talking topics down. And this week we go, we're sitting down and there's nothing.
Yeah. So we decided that we're going to have more of a conversation to kill the time because this is Los Angeles and it takes about an hour to go 20 miles on a weekend.
Yep.
And we decided to talk about a topic that we touched upon a couple of podcast episodes ago, but kind of, like, more have that a more fleshed out discussion about it. And this is about live music and, like, what is, I guess, the worth around live music. So
yeah, and then different styles of live music and everything, I guess.
Yeah.
If that's the thing, you have the fucking ticket, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna have Audio Face featuring this ticket lady. We'll see what happens. Just, hey, don't mind us. It's not like we have a car bomb in our seat or anything.
Jesus Christ. For your information, folks, I have all the wires on my lap for the microphones, and it looks like I have a giant bomb in my lap.
The audio equipment hasn't changed at all. It's just the fact that we are now... Thank you, Santa Monica. Thank you. Okay. Turns out I owe the machine money.
You should do a suit?
No, thanks.
What?
I think it was because... In the time it took for us to, like, prep and figure out all of our...
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm keeping this in the podcast. So, live music.
Live music. That's a thing.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Okay.
The reason I wanted to bring up this, like, point and conversation in general is because there are a lot of unwritten rules, I guess, I have for live music that I want to know if they apply. So, the first unwritten rule is that it makes no sense to see an artist more than twice in about a year. The reason I think that is because...
Okay, I could be that.
Well, I'm supposed to make a left, that's fun.
More than two times in a calendar year.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it goes back to what we were talking about with musicians not, like, evolving quick enough when they make too much, like, music and they put
too much content.
Much.
Yeah.
Like, your live set is not really going to change that much, regardless of genre.
No.
It's only been like a year or so.
No, because they have one album or so, so that's one more or less sound. And if you hear that three times in a year, you're going to be like, oh, I've already experienced it twice, as it is. So I don't want it again. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, that's a good unwritten rule. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. So, like, because I have friends who... Especially with electronic music, even. They want to see, like... No, I'm not going down that road. Waze is having a good time today.
But he's going, oh, God, okay.
We're in for a long trip. So,
this is
like,
gonna be a while.
The issue is I have friends who love seeing, like, the same DJs and the same artists, like, multiple times in a year. And, like, I know they're small artists and you want to support them, but, like, you're just not getting that much of a range of a show, really. Like, all you're getting is the same shit they've been playing, like...
All year.
And I had this happen to me when I saw Oliver Heldens at UDC, and I love Oliver Heldens. He's one of my favorite, like, DJs. But the fact is that his set was, like... I mean, EDC is fun. It's a fun environment and experience, and that's why I still overall enjoyed it. In addition to the... Hi, dude. In addition to the fact that...
Brought to you by, you know, speeding BMW.
Yeah. I hate Santa Monica. I'm never living here.
It's not.
But even with Oliver Heldens, I really liked and I really enjoyed that set, although it was the same set that I had seen in January when I saw him, like,
right,
a couple months earlier. And so there's no difference in that context. I don't think that applies to anyone. Like, if we had... I mean, like, you might have, and there's a little bit of a difference because sometimes Radiohead performs different songs each time, right?
Usually but, they do, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't want to see Radiohead, like, 2 days back-to-back, most likely, because even though as much as... Well, maybe that's not
well,
true.
No, because the one time when they fucking played twice in Berkeley, the second set the next day was the most ridiculous set I've ever seen in my life. But this is... That doesn't happen often.
Okay, well, let's take...
It's very rare.
Let's take not your favorite band.
Let's say Muse.
Sure.
Let's say Muse.
Let's say Muse for you. Or, like, in any kind of context. Like, it's a band you like, you enjoy, but it's not like your diehard band, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to see them twice in a year. No. Even if money's not an object, just because... You're not getting a varied set from that. You're going to be hearing the same set list. They're not going to be really doing anything new.
I'm going to hear Starlight twice. I'm going to hear Map of the Problem-esque twice. You know? It's
yeah.
Like, it's, you don't need that.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see you agree with me on that.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I mean, I won't totally, it 100% makes sense for that. Certain artists, it depends because they, like, Radiohead is one where they bring out so much song. Like, they said that they would rehearse 100 songs for a tour. Be like, all right, let's pick this... here or there and see what works.
So
they have their set, like, kind of 10 that they play for this tour. So, like, Daydreaming, Burn the Witch. They've been playing a lot of stuff from OK Computer. Stuff like that. But...
Yeah. At the risk of undermining my own point, it's fine if you go see an artist twice in a year. If, like, they have this, like, expansive discography and the way that they perform is by, like, constantly flexing that discography. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why, like, even as I said Radiohead, I was like, oh, that's... a little different, because, like, even without my body, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers, even, their discography goes deep, and I like them, but I'm not, like, a super fan of them,
mm-hmm.
but if I had the opportunity to see them twice, I probably would, just because, like...
Or Incubus is another.
Yeah, just any band with, like, a deep set list and a track list, but I feel like most of the artists that are, like, out now, like,
don't,
one of the big ones...
They do not have a deep...
Especially in electronic music, but also just, like, in general, it's hard to really get that kind of experience.
Yeah, because most guys, they play... Guys or gals. Let's not be sexist over here. They
or non-conforming gender.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, you got to get... Okay.
Mistakes were made.
Hey, we got killed here, guys.
Yeah, Santa Monica intersection happens. Also, I'm driving.
This is true. Why do I let Dan drive anymore? This guy's mental.
Because I make good deals when I drive.
Well, you do have an...
Hi!
You have the auxiliary. Which...
That wasn't a stop!
That's cool. Alright.
Cool!
Well,
the good news is, if I do get hit by a car, we'll be recording
proof.
This podcast and we'll have proof.
So we get that insurance to get two Teslas.
This proof of insurance has been brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace!
This has been brought to you by Mutual of Omaha.
Brought to you by Norm Reeves Honda.
Wow, that's good. I don't remember what the hell I was saying. Oh, where we have, especially in electronic music, they don't have much that they can play unless they've been around, like, for a while, which a lot of electronic artists have been new. You know, they've been playing for 10 years at most, which for a lot of artists, considering if they play a whole tour or whatnot, that's... not that much music to pick from. You have 3-4 albums or so.
Yeah.
And
of
those
songs, you're not going to perform all of those songs.
No.
You're only going to perform the good ones because as an electronic artist, I find that your pressures are also to be a good DJ and to, like, play what the crowd really enjoys.
Yeah, and especially electronic artists, it's hard because it's you're really there to please the crowd in a way. And I think that's kind of a bad thing with electronic music. There's, it's too, that's why I don't like EDM much, because it's that too hypey-typey. People always want the drop. You always have to go with the people. But it's not like underground house stuff where it's just whatever the dude wants to play, he plays, and most guys like it. So
EDM, it's hypey-typey where you have to go with the people. Yeah. I love the way you just described that. That's,
it's a perfect example of
too bad I don't have notes that I can type on legally in front of me right now, because I want to make sure that Hypey Typey is the name of the episode.
I'm going to write that down.
Good man. So yeah, I guess that's like one random rule I've had in my head, and I don't know who's enforcing these rules. The answer is me. I'm enforcing the rules, and if you go to see any show more than once, then I will find you. But I have one test for that rule. So let's take your Dead Mouses or your Daft Punks or like an electronic artist who has been around for a while. Would you want to see them like more than one time in the same year?
Probably not, honestly.
Same with me.
Honestly, no.
And like, so there's 2 points after this. A, the reason I brought up the question is because I thought about it myself. Would I want to see Daft Punk or even Dead Mouse twice live? I mean, A, I just love to see Daft Punk once. I mean, and I'd see them perform one song live. I'd be straight. Like, that'd be pretty dope. But, like, again, at least the way I know Daft Punk in particular, like many artists, the way they perform their songs, they meld them together. Like, it's gonna be more or less the same each time.
Pretty and that's much. Not there's even not, like there's not much you can do
to
change it up. Not like a band can, where they could just like Incubus did on HQ Live in, was that 2011, out of nowhere they're playing Are You In, and then halfway through the lead singer Brandon Boyd's like, oh, are we gonna do our thingy, and then they start playing like Riders in the Storm, like just like whipping a random cool song. And, but that's only something you could do live.
That's
electronic. You can't really do that too much. Even as a DJ, you're kind of limited with the amount you can, because if not, you could very easily fuck it up and then your whole set is ruined.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
Then end up with that young DJ Khaled at EDC, which I'm never going to let live down, because like, it's my journalistic duty to remind people that no one wanted DJ Khaled at EDC, and he got booed off because no one wanted him, not because of some technical difficulties.
That's rough. That's really rough.
Anywho's.
What does he even do? Anyways, we already had that conversation.
So, and then, what was I trying to say? The second point is, along with that, is that's just something that... Oh, no. So, that was tested, because I did see Cascade. He can go, yeah.
Yeah, he can go.
He's just slow, wow. So, I did see Cascade twice in 1 year, because I saw him on New Year's, and he happened to do a surprise show at EDC. And I actually enjoyed that, although my reasons might be just more personal, because of, like, the... Because, like, I met my girlfriend at Cascade, or, like, we became a couple at a Cascade concert,
oh,
right?
That's so, like, you. That's the... Shut up.
Yeah, I've got feels. Shut up. But that, I guess, I wouldn't even count for even that purpose, but it isn't wholly bad. It's just that if you're going to be spending your money for some sort of experience, you shouldn't see the artist twice. And I think what also made that one not as bad is because of the fact that I wasn't really going to see Cascade twice. I happened to be going to EDC, where I was seeing a lot of artists for the first time, and a couple artists again, but, like, mostly it was this other whole carnival, like event experience, like festival experience is what I'm going for. So, in that case, I say it was better. Ready to move on to my second imaginary rule?
Yeah, Dan's rules, everybody.
Dan's rules, everybody. Dan's rules. Oh my God, no! And feel free to come up with some of your own, Sean, because I might actually only have two rules.
I have a few, I think.
Maybe. Okay. My second one that I just randomly made up is no mosh pitting at rap music concerts.
At rap music?
Yeah.
Why
so,
the hell would there be mosh pits at rap?
Whew. Boy, let me tell you. There have been a couple of situations, especially in, like, most of the concerts I've gone to have been in, like, San Francisco, Oakland, where, yeah, I've seen people moshing at rap concerts. And I'll... No politics. But I notice a racial breakdown as to how this happens. It tends to be the people that start the mosh pits are Caucasian. And
well,
these tend to be at majority, like, black shows, which is, like, it's fine. I'm all for the, like, intermixing and intermingling of music. But that being said, like, when it's a mosh pit, like, that's something you're physically, like, engaged and involved in. Maybe you don't want a bunch of, like, sweaty dudes, like, brushing or like punching up against you, right? Like, did you just set... Oh, I thought you sent your celebratory I'm going to Snapchat during the show thing because I saw a snap notification on my phone.
No.
Not yet.
I'll do that later.
But
just to make Bam laugh.
Yeah. But, like, I've all... Like, that's happened a lot lately. And, yeah, it just kind of ruins the experience for me. Because, like, I didn't come to a rap concert to, like, yeah, get banged on by a bunch of sweaty dudes. Pause.
Hard pause.
And so... And, like, people get hurt in those things sometimes. Like, people
And it just brings down the enjoyment level, really.
Yeah, it's like, you know? I'm here to, like, enjoy and listen to the music. And, yeah, there are concerts with, like punk concerts have a lot of moshing. And like,
which is fine. That's the music you want to mosh
And, like, different genres have different, like, types of crowds. Like, if you go to an electronic music concert, there's probably going to be, like, Candy Kids and Ravers and shit like that. Like, some of that stuff comes with the territory.
Yeah,
but,
for
like,
sure. 100%.
I don't know how to enforce this or how to stop this other than saying, like, if you start moshing, you get kicked out. Like, and if you want to mosh to rap music, like, fine, do that. Like, you go, like, find a house party and go do it there, right? I tamed myself down really there for a second because I was about to get political. racial, actually. But,
That's right.
Basically, like, the concerts and experience, like, and this applies to a lot of my political philosophy, it's and life philosophy in general. It's not about you.
Yeah. Never.
Like, there are other people in the world who, like, are going to be living and dealing with you. So, I might have screwed myself here.
Maybe not.
Yep, nailed it.
Nice, good job.
You make 3 lane changes in one go. That's what I just did. Allegedly. Allegedly. So yeah, have you been to a concert before? You just like really hated the crowd, right?
God, yes. Jesus.
Tell me about some of those experiences.
It was ironically, it was literally a mosh pit.
which concert?
It was like some not underground. Well, not really underground, but some like hipster place. When I went with friends last year, and down in San Diego. I can't think of the name. Sorry. Wow. I can't think of the name of it, and. It was, like, some alternative music, punk music and stuff. And it was okay, but the crowd was, like, really whack. Yeah. You know, like, they were just, like, moving with it. And I don't know where a mosh pit formed. I go, what the hell? It's just some... I was going to be about to be racial, too. We got to pull the handbrake hard, man.
This time we're actually in the car, so I can pull the handbrake.
You could actually pull the handbrake. And you might need to because we're hopping on the 10 East, which is the worst freeway ever. And there's an accident right
there. Did someone get into an accident on the entrance?
That takes some skill, man. It's probably... Wow, he like barely tapped her.
Dude,
okay.
Dude, don't... I just caught that. Also, while I'm on this diatribe about traffic, talk towards me because the mic is closer to me.
That's hilarious.
This is... I'm not editing any of this out.
I'm leaning into you. Here we go. Pause.
No, but if you like... Aim your head towards the microphone, it'll pick up more. Rather than you, like, talking straight forward, and then, like, your sound won't hit the microphone.
I see what you mean.
Welcome to Audio Editing 101.
Right.
And then back to my other point about drivers. Like, if you just, like, tap a little bit, you should just, like, flip someone off and leave. But, like, you should be able to tell when, like, it's actual damage to your car.
Yeah, like versus, a guy like, ran into me last year.
Yeah. Like...
Destroyed my head on that.
Can we get a little bit... Wait, you're having me exit already? Okay.
Because the 405's right here? Oh, no, wait, it's not...
No, it's... All right, we are taking some streets. That's cool.
This is really strange. Okay, wait.
This episode of The Angelinos has been brought to you by... All right, so, you sure you don't remember, like, what concert that was?
No, it was, like, it was just...
Random house show.
No, it wasn't house. It was alternative and punk. It was, No.
All punk.
House, I like the crowd usually, even though some guys could be really whack, but usually house, even if it's underground in a warehouse... House is really, like, chill. You know, it's really... Everybody there is usually just have a good time, and you have to search out house music in order to find it, especially here. In the Americas.
It sucks because... Go ahead.
Yeah, and those crowds are a bit different. This one was just really rowdy, in a way. It was, like, really dead for a while, and some people were enjoying it, but it was strange. And I went to Battle of the Bands once, too, and I didn't like that much either, because a lot of the people in the crowd were bands participating in the show, and they didn't want to seem like they were enjoying it, because they didn't want to give props out to other bands. It was kind of the same thing where we've gone a comedy night where guys don't want to laugh at, comedians don't want to laugh at other guys' jokes, even though when it's funny as hell. Like, you're a super whack hipster for doing that. And then bands were doing that. This is, I did a battle of bands like three, four years ago.
You know,
a
while ago. This is a great conversation to have because, Battle of the Bands is something like, it's almost, it's been done so many times that it's like a sitcom trope where like there's a battle of the bands, right? But like, I don't really hear many of those unless it's like a local like joint having like high school bands around. But like, what is, I hate the idea of Battle of the Bands in general because A, it's like, we had an off mic discussion about DaBaseball, but that's a nice ass dispensary. Wow. You can just go into that? There's no, like, security guard or anything? Okay, that's fine.
New levels, L.A., new levels.
Really watch out for that, L.A. No, but I was talking about battle... Oh, no, we had a conversation off-camera about why I don't really... Off-camera, off-mic, about why I don't really like debates, like political debates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you're not really judging based on the factors you should be judging on, because it's really not... It's really... It's a subjective thing, right? So you can't judge on a subjective thing that doesn't involve, like, points of something.
Yeah, the, yeah, exactly.
So if you, like, apply...
Battle of the Bands is the same, like...
Exactly, so it's just, like, what do you apply to? I mean, I guess as a general, like, are you good or are you suck? Like, can you stay on beat? I guess, like, that's a general thing. But, like, there's other more nuanced things. So, like, oh, did you do something nice with the song? Or, oh, you did something risky with the song, but maybe didn't land it so much. Do I weigh that more than someone who just, like, played a boring song, pop song straight through? Like,
yeah.
There's all this subjectiveness to it. And so I never thought Battle of the Bands, even though it's not really a big thing, I never thought those were really conducive to, like, musical collaboration in the good sense.
They're okay. It's... More of bands get recognized, but it was taken a bit too far or whatnot, or just, I can't even explain it. It wasn't enjoyable as much as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like, the music was good, some of it was rough, but the overall consensus is that it was pretty good, but the crowd was really whack, and it was annoying.
Yeah, I would imagine, in the Battle of the Bands, I would imagine it as a, like, a person in the audience... That's like a bang for buck, because you're kind of getting like a festival thing, you're kind of getting people trying to play to their best, and it's almost like a competitive thing, but I don't need bands to be any more competitive than they kind of already are. Because there's already competition in like the music industry, right?
Yeah.
I don't see the need to like unnecessarily add it more for any reason. Especially in like that odd organic sense where like, yeah, so much will be made off of how well you perform in a battle of the bands, when really that's not really like the best way to tell how good a band is based on how well they perform one or two songs in a rowdy audience with other band members.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's basically exactly like the debate conversation that we had earlier.
Yeah.
People would have heard that. That was a... We were dropping bars on that.
Yeah, but like, my debate point and that point are just that it's hard to judge something without some type of actual scale.
Yeah,
actual
without an actual, like, a point system where... You can deliberately say, hey, look, this guy won. You know,
yeah.
you have the football match of, all right, Bayern scored 2, Dortmund scored 0, Bayern wins. Like, that's a thing,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't have that in debates or battle of, well, we kind of, but it's not like...
Is that an R8?
Is that, what?
No.
That wouldn't be one. So then, okay, more live music things.
You were going back to, like, rowdy crowds, and, yeah, like, it sucks, and that's something you can't really, like...
I've heard a lot of stories from friends who go to, like, warehouse shows and stuff where just people are crazy in crowds, where it's okay, but I hate rowdiness where it disrupts
the music, yeah.
Yeah.
And that can, like ruin the whole vibe for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, or it ruins the whole show. It can ruin it for the band, too, because then... The band could get fucked by the venue from there, and then they can't play anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just...
And then that word gets around, and it gets harder for you to play.
Yeah, don't be that guy to ruin it for other people.
Yeah, it all goes back to, it's not all about you.
Don't be a douche.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, have fun, but just don't do it at the expense of others, pretty much. Which, your mother should have taught you values like that, but nobody teaches you that shit anymore.
Politics.
No, I was going to say something else.
I'm gonna ask you another question about your, like, general, like, rules, I guess.
Let's hear it.
But, no, like, I'm going to ask you for your rules in a bit, but I have one other, like, little anecdote to tell. Remember when we saw Disclosure the second time?
In San Francisco.
Yes.
The guy who walked through the fucking crowd is like, excuse me, I hate me, I hate my, like, were you going to talk about that guy?
No. I wasn't even thinking about that guy. I was just thinking about the fact, like, it was full of a bunch of, like, 14-year-old frat guys.
Yeah.
And like, 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds who, like, thought they were in the Greek system.
And then remember that the chick that passed out, too, immediately, like, before the band came out?
Really? I don't even remember that. I must have blocked that all out.
Yeah, that happened, like, the very beginning. I'm like, dude, handle your drugs.
And then I
got Charlie Horsed hard and I had to grab Tammy. Sorry, Tammy.
I remember.
I almost fell down.
I remember that shit. Like, it was just like kids gone wild.
That's the best way to put
it. And yes, I understand what else that connotates to. And unfortunately, it was a little bit like that.
It really was.
Like, I've never become pro 18 and up shows faster than that one.
Really? Yeah.
Or at least pro 18 and up general admission.
Yeah.
Because if you're in GA, like you should... Maybe that's the rule. I think I just created the rule. Sorry, we'll get to your thing in just a second. But, like, that's the rule. GA should have guidelines. If you're in general admission, there's a certain shit that you've just got to abide by and, like, make sure by, because it's a responsibility. You're close to the band and you're, like, or the artist or the talent, DJ, whatever, and you're in this, like, crowd experience. It's a good thing. But, like, hey, just make sure it's an enjoyable experience for other people while you're still enjoying yourself. It's possible, but do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Am I not the most reasonable man in America?
Well...
on Earth, even.
No, on Mars, but on Earth, yeah, you got it there.
Elon Musk is the most reasonable man on Mars, I'm pretty sure. Or Newt Gingrich, one or the other.
Whoa! Let's pull that handbrake hard.
And no politics! All right, Sean, so give us a rule of yours for live concerts, or just like anything like that.
Live concerts. Don't use fucking signs or flags unless it's Glastonbury Festival. That's the only time you can have a fucking flag out there. Because I've done a couple festivals and shows where people have had signs or other shit. I'm like, that's right in my face, bud. I'm not in Glastonbury at the Pyramid stage where it's meant you're allowed to take flags into the fucking place.
Okay, well,
everybody else is not. And I hate that.
Let me push back. So I agree with you at, like, general concerts, but at festivals, like, outdoor festivals?
I shouldn't say festival. It depends on the festival, I should say.
Okay, give me an example of a festival you wouldn't do it at, because, like...
You wouldn't do it at?
Yeah, because I would, I'm totally fine with totems and things at EDC. That's, like, part of...
EDC,
that's part of the culture.
EDC and Glastonbury are fine, because that's what they're meant to do. There's certain festivals...
Basic Cella.
Cella, no, fuck Cella, because you're I'm not gonna say that.
No, this is gonna be. Let's keeping in mind that we're currently recording, and I don't plan on editing anything out.
Exactly, that's why I'm like.
Would you like to say about Coachella?
Oh Jesus! If you have on some like face paint and flower crowns and high-waisted shorts, you need to do what they tell you to do on the We Made It podcast.
On the
Syndicate 23 Network, if you want to listen to some real football talk.
Bleep
that
yourself.
Real football talk. Go bleep yourself and listen to the We Made It podcast. Bam and Caesar know their shit. And Neymar's at PSG making that money. Anyways.
Neymar's got mad dollars.
Hard tangent from... music.
This has nothing to do.
Neymar,
you know, now,
you're making money. Anyways.
Neymar is singing about how much money he has. There, we're talking about music again. I got money flowing out of my armpits. I got so much money. Don't know what to do with all this money.
All right.
Think gonna blow it like a boxer.
All right, yeah, so certain festivals, yes. Like, electronic ones are okay, kind of. Like, EDC, yes, because it's been that way since EDC's been around, since it was even in L.A.
Yeah, like, I have to push back hard on the... Dude, move the fuck up! Forward, please! Okay, this is just also the me intermittently getting angry at traffic podcast.
Oh my god, this is so bad. Anyways, because if it's not, like, I'm talking usually, like, not electronic festivals. Because there are some flags at Hard Summer, but it's okay because Hard Summer, you're not there to really watch the band, you know, too much.
I think you're touching into just, like, rave culture where, like...
Because rave culture, it's been there since the start, but I'm talking about there's festivals and stuff, like, okay...
But there are different sects of it. So, like, just how, like, I take pride and joy in, like, wearing all these different, like, candy beads and, like, making them and then sharing them with other people, like... People take pride in making those flags and those totems, and they like doing that for fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine in the context of, like, an electronic music festival. Or maybe even Glasgow, where that's a cultural thing. But then
you go to Outside Lands in San Francisco, where you went to see the fucking band, and then they start bringing that shit in. I go, whoa. Don't do that. Because they search you for the flags and stuff, but people bring them... I don't know how you sneak shit. Like, they sneak it in.
You're... They can't stop you from bringing it in if it's, like, not set up and collapsed yet.
No, exactly.
Oh, look, there's a guy in a raised Dodge Ram. He has a small penis and a large bank account.
Well, medium-sized bank account. If it's a Ford Raptor, then you have a large bank account.
Yeah, it's just like a Dodge Ram with raised trucks. Do that in the hood for a couple $100. Get set straight.
Do it where you live for $100, but then next thing you know, you try to raise it and it just falls off.
No, you raise it, they realize they stole the chassis.
they got it from the broke yard. You're not gonna do that, sir.
I'm not.
You're not gonna make that.
I just wanted to be away from that Civic, honestly.
I got you. Oh, now you got leaves on your car, mate.
Alright.
I'm facing.
Dude, what is up with this Cadillac? He's just, like, sitting in the middle of two lanes, just in this one lane. I'm like, dude, why are you dicking us like this? You're being that guy.
Probably got his 5 o'clock blowjob right now, so...
You're being that guy.
I hate humanity right now.
Nothing will make you hate humanity like being on the 405 on the weekend.
Yeah. Past the LA Weekly building.
As if this couldn't be the most Los Angeles conversation ever.
Right. We need a bleeper.
Dude, that was... You're not even shameless. There was a car that was right behind another car, and it was, like, about to pull out in front of us.
This is just bad.
And, you know, I'm just going to stop explaining this, because it's not good podcast.
It's not good podcast.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with all the flags and shit
10 minutes.
At, like, festivals. As long as it's not, like, indoors, and as long as it's not, like, so huge that's, like, actually blocking...
That's what I mean. If it's a huge one... Because I've had that happen to me where somebody was holding up some shit and I couldn't see. I go, okay, what the hell?
Imagine what it were like if you were, like, really short.
Yeah, I feel sorry for short people.
I'm about to 1-800-FUCK-A-VOLVO.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh.
All right, you got
Jesus.
Over.
Jesus.
All right. Anyways... 1-800-FUCK-THE-405. I like to appoint certain flags. Like Glastonbury, it's been that way since I can remember.
Right, yeah.
And then...
My first Glastonbury was like that, too.
Yeah. And then... So that's kind of my rule.
Okay.
And then another rule... I had some rules, but we've been nearly killed
the
six...
Shit.
Nearly killed six times, and now we're trying to figure it out.
I can try to think of some other things.
I mean, I could just...
Or just, like, I can talk about... Like, I guess my favorite live performances. That'd be a good, like, new thing we could talk about. That'd be fun. And would, like, make some time. There's really, like, not much relevant in the news this week. Like, really trying hard to give some content.
You know what? I could say this. I told you why I want to talk about live music. Why you should see live music. Here's my...
Well, like, I know... I have no problem with... Okay, well, yeah. Give that argument.
I don't know if... Because some people don't like seeing live music or don't know why you should.
Okay.
For, like, certain genres of music, I say. So, for... Let's start with alternative music, which is what I pretty much know the best, I'd like to say.
The best. Tremendous.
Tremendous.
I mean, I will say that live... No politics. I will say that live alternative bands have been the most interesting.
Yes, because,
like,
it's the most
board.
Dynamic to me of... live music, because it changes. The live version of a song can be 100% different than the album version of a song.
I agree.
And I don't think you get that as much in other genres as you do in alternative music. And, like, a good... I mean, there's so many examples. I don't even know where the hell to begin with all the examples of it. But...
I can agree with you.
Yeah, and that's... I say go see live music, because... Especially alternative. a lot of artists too, what they do is they kind of mix, not really mix in different songs, but mix in different sounds to it. And a lot of the times with live is they have to improvise a lot of the times what they did in studio. Because in studio, you can have a looped guitar. You know, you can, maybe you have four bandmates, but it sounds like you have six or seven. Or you have six, and it sounds like you have 12. Okay, yeah. You go on a stage. How the hell do you make that 12?
In the studio, you have so many, like, you can loops fall back things on the technology.
Yeah, 100%. Where that's, I mean, that's what a studio is for. It's so that way you can really make it crisp.
You can get literally the sound you want, regardless of whatever other, like, natural constraints you would have, being just a, exactly, just like a meat vehicle with a musical instrument.
Exactly. And now with live music is, okay, you're there, you have a crowd of humans that want to see you play a certain song that in the studio required, you know, twice as many people as you. How the hell are you going to make that same sound? Usually you don't, but you make it similar and you change it up a little bit. You know, like, let's give an example. Obviously, I have to go back to Radiohead because I think they were one of the best live bands ever, especially when we saw them live. When we saw them in April, I go, holy shit.
At Berkeley in the Greek Theater.
Yes.
2017, if that wasn't obvious.
Burn the Witch. So Burn the Witch, at the very beginning, is all these strings, you know?
Yeah.
And it has an electronic drum, a looped drum. It has a bass line that is kind of an electronic bass line. And then it has a normal bass line, guitars, and then Tom singing, doing his thing. I go, how the hell are they going to perform that live? So Johnny does the thing of bowing his guitar to make it sound like violins. So what he has to do is, so he's bowing his guitar, and then when the strings parts go over and then it comes out to the chorus, when the drums kick in and everything, he has to push down his bow, click on his pedals for his guitar, pick up his guitar pick, and then start,
yeah,
start mashing his Starcaster.
Even the process in itself is a different sound that you get from the album, but like the fact that you have to do that quick transition, it's almost, in that sense, live music acts as a constraint on performing the piece, and yes, so because of that constraint, you get different things going on.
And like for the live version, he, in the middle of it, he starts playing On the Martineau, you know, which is my favorite instrument ever.
Describe it for people who don't know.
Oh god, I'm gonna go on a tangent of this instrument. So the On Martineau is probably the very first electronic instrument. It's this keyboard with a string that you plug into an amp, and it has a very, very haunting, beautiful sound. When you do the string, it sounds like if you hear, what would be like horror films, not like that, right, really high pitched eerie sound. Yeah, like that, exactly. But you can
precisely do like the noise I just made with my mouth.
Where you can, but with that,
slide my DMs.
Right. So with that, you can slide it up and down. You can play the keyboard with the ring going back and forth, and it just makes this beautiful, haunting sound that no other instrument does. A theremin is pretty close. Some people know what a theremin is, which is, you know, the wireless version of On the Martineau.
Right.
Basically, where you play, it looks like you're playing nothing out of thin air. Like Jimmy Page used that a few times in Led Zeppelin, and a lot of nerds are like using it. I am a nerd too, so
yeah.
Fuck off if you start yelling at me.
This isn't like you're a fucking nerd. This is the person who just brought out like one of the most obscure musical instruments you can,
it
and like they're pretty
really
good,
is.
Pretty good explanation of it.
And anyways, so Johnny starts playing that in the song to make it sound a little more haunting. So he throws his guitar on his back, you know, pushes it back, turns on the On Martineau, and starts playing it. So that way it branches the song together, then throws his guitar back, picks up his bow, puts on his pedals. It just, that in itself is why you should see live music. Because with an artist that is amazing as Radiohead, I mean, they're like the top of the top, in my opinion. But there's so many other bands that are great. Incubus Live is great, as I said earlier. With that, they have to improvise, have to change it up from the studio version, because you just can't make the same stuff with alternative. And other genres, completely different. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, so a lot of points on that. Basically, yeah, I guess I can sum it all up by saying I agree with... your boy got a truck with blue rims. Oh, he's so...
He's balling out.
He's...
All right, then.
Just pulling the handbrake. Okay.
Bleep yourself.
So, as not that far, but as, like, I... Thank you, Waze. I really do enjoy how music can sound so different live, especially coming from alternative artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, basically what you talked about with the constraints was so, like, it resonated a lot with me. How it resonated music. Oh, funny jokes, humor. I was going to
make that goddamn joke, you asshole. That's perfect.
I caught it. But... Yeah, you when you're live, there's so much less you can do, but at the same time, there's so much more you can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're just taking, like, bands you know super well, with Gorillaz, like, Plastic Beach was, I think, their most difficult album to perform live because it's a very, like, produced, processed, electronic, synth-heavy album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you could do that if you gave every member of the band synthesizers and had them perform their music off of, like, electronic drum loops and things like that, but no, Gorillaz still had a guitarist, they still had bassist, Damon's on keyboards, but in addition to that, they also brought out, like, the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, some people with, like, trombones and mm-hmm. trumpets and, like, all these different, like, wonderful brass instruments for certain songs.
They had on so many people on stage.
They had an orchestra, like, they have a choir to do backup vocals for Damon, and, like, through all of that, it's... I guess it's what people like about hearing a cover of a song, because you get to hear, like, a melody and a tune, but given this different voice and this different, like, whole breath of life in it.
Interesting.
But there's
okay.
something a lot more special when it's, like, that band doing another version of their song.
Right, right.
Like, there's a version of Gorillaz' Donkomatic done with Daily, an artist we recently talked about on the podcast, where
such a good song.
They strip down the song, get rid of, like, the synth trumpet and all the drums.
Oh, really?
And play it with a xylophone.
So, do.
There's, like,
xylophone.
Bum, 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 bum,
that's
bum,
really
bum,
cool.
Bum,
I have to
bum,
see
bum,
that.
Bum. Or, like, recently on, like, Fallon, some band did, like, a song. No, this, who did... I'm so upset this name of the band is losing me. But Enter Sandman.
And Metallica.
Metallica, yes. They did a version of that with, like, a melodica tambourine and, like...
They did... Yeah.
Those are two logical extremes, right? Or, like, NPR's Tiny Desk. That, like, when artists get to work within those constraints to still perform those songs, like...
It's really cool to see what the hell they come up with.
Side note, Sean, check out that, like, truck that's on the rotating platform up there.
Whoa,
on the
corner. That is kind of wild.
Welcome to America.
That is...
Whoop, whoop!
Whoop,
whoop! Whoop, whoop!
Got that young pullover.
Whoop, whoop.
Sorry,
California Highway Patrol patrolling the highway.
Or, like, present tense. You know, like, look, Tom and Johnny did the two live versions that they did last year of Chanson de Mouche Pool, and they did numbers and present tense. The present tense live is completely different than the album version. Because Johnny's doing a damn skip loop on the guitar instead of playing an acoustic version.
Yeah.
So it's like that. You get to hear different versions of a song that you didn't think would sound the same, and then you end up, like me, you end up liking the live versions better than the studio versions. Like,
yeah.
Videotape live, amazing.
Yeah, there's just, over at Vox.com, they did this whole breakdown of the song videotape and, like, how it's kind of set up musically. But a lot of that video was about how, the live version that came out before the recorded version, which happens a lot with Radiohead songs, and even, like...
A lot of bands do that, actually.
Yeah, a lot of bands, but, like, definitely at least what I've noticed and paid attention to, Radiohead does it a lot. But, yeah, like, how the album version sounded far different and was, like, less kind of upbeat, I suppose, as the original live version.
Right.
I guess depends which one. I like the album version better, honestly, because I guess I just like the tone of it.
I like... It's... I love the Bonnaroo version, which is the first version. But my favorite is, like, the live, like, when they did the broadcast in 2007.
Yeah.
Just because I like the synth. Because it just, like, it fits it in, you know? Just, like, makes it sound weird. I like really weird, different sounding music as much as I can get.
Another great thing I like, just to, like, finish, like, this point, I suppose.
Yeah, how about
is it? When you get to hear a song you like done in a different style. So, I'll just take pull from Radiohead again, because it's easy and I'm driving, I'm already kind of distracted. But when Radiohead performed I Might Be Wrong...
I was about to say, I Might Be Wrong.
It was a, blues, almost, funk version of the song. When before, the first time I saw the song was on Jules Holland's show in, 2002. And, it was, a rock song. It was a song you, thrashed your head to. It was, a really, fun thing. And then when Radiohead performed it again live, because they'd done this song many, many times live, it was more of, a funk thing.
Yeah, Johnny started to palm mute his guitar. So it's, it mutes out the strings, so it doesn't ring out.
Yes.
So with it, when it's connected with his pedals and whatnot, it sounds more bluesy. It sounds different. It sounds more like you can move with it instead of really, not making it a banger.
And the way Colin was, finger-picking with the bass, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit muted, but, the strings are, the strings come in very powerful, but it's over, the sound, the resonation is muted.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah,
bing,
it was bing, really bing, it was really cool bing, when bing. When they played that. We go, whoa, this is it was really different. I'm really glad we got to listen to it. It's one of our favorite songs.
It was, in the words of the teacher from my Radiohead decal, it was a slow groove kind of funk thing.
Slow groove kind of funk thing. Yeah, so go see live music, people. Also, within live music, you can support a lot of local artists, a lot of underground people that... The only way they can really get heard, more or less, is through their live shows.
Through opening for other bands.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that too. That's honestly, it's really cool because I would go all over the place, all over Long Beach, all over Orange County, and whatnot, to just hear different bands and see what the hell people are writing, you know? Because there's so many bands that have damn good music, but they just. You don't know it unless you're from the local scene, really.
Yeah, it's hard to really, push yourself through to the top with a lot of these mediums and how they, work now, where... I guess I could use the carpool lane, but it's kind of a cesspool, so I don't feel like it. It is hard to kind of permeate and differentiate your music or, any of your content at this, day and age, because through the internet, everyone kind of has the same opportunities, so the barrier to entry is low. But because there's more people, in that market around you...
Right.
There's kind of, in a sense, more talent. But there's also just, more cruft to sift through. And so it's really hard to bubble up like that. But one way that's kind of curated toward you, if you will, is if you go see a live band, even if one you like, and then see who the openers are.
Like, the opener for Radiohead was really cool.
Yeah.
It was guys from Iraq.
Yeah.
And
it was a Rocky Radiohead.
It really was a Rocky Radiohead. It was really cool. It had a sitar, guy with a Telecaster. Then they had brought on a girl for a little while singing.
Yeah.
So there was a duet thing going. It was really awesome. I
forget the name. But
I need to look it up because it was funny to think about them the other day. I need to find out who the hell they are because I want to see what music they've released.
Yeah.
They were really good. Yeah, so go see live music, humans. That's all I have on that. You want to keep going, or...?
I have one more thing.
Let's hear it.
Just for the sake of discussion.
Let's hear it.
I will give a defense of electronic music shows.
What do you mean by electronic music? Because...
Of the shows. Of seeing live shows. Because we're still talking about live.
Yeah, because, okay, do you mean, what I've gone to most of the time, which is, really... understated house shows.
Yeah,
which you kind of have to mix a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
you want to talk about EDC.
I'm talking about the shows that you wouldn't like. The shows with
EDM,
straight DJs.
Well, it depends cuz it's hard.
Okay,
all right. It's Hard Summer. Is that a good representation?
No.
No? Okay, well then
a decent representation, and that Hard Summer in 2014 in particular was better and more it was a closer juxtaposition to electronic music as an average festival would be,
yeah,
as opposed to other Hard Summers. Mm. Hard Summer now is kind of almost I guess it leans more towards trap, I suppose.
Really? What the hell?
In a sense, but still some electronic. It's hard to describe, but
yeah, I have to go there again, but I'm not doing that.
I'm saying let's say a lineup similar to EDC where it's just you have some variation where, like, there you have some drum and bass people, you have some trance, you have some
art style. Oh, I see what you mean.
But, like, it's all the kind of EDM we describe where it's, like, build up, drop, bridge, etc., right?
Or the corny stuff, as I like to call it. And Caesar says that,
the corny shit, yeah.
Which I understand you like, and I get why people like it, but it's just overplayed to me, in my opinion. But
the reason, and I think the reason being, and correct me if I'm wrong before I make my, like, kind of point about that because a lot of what you're going there to see, you're going to concerts as, above all, like, first and above all, a consumer of music.
Correct.
And so if a lot of the music is kind of repetitive and, like, similar, then your enjoyment, the amount of enjoyment you'll derive from that concert will be lower because you're not really being surprised as much. You're just kind of experiencing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, you're kind of just going through the motions, you know?
Yeah.
It's like going through a 9-to-5. You're just doing it to get it over with.
If you don't like your job.
But if you don't.
We're both lucky enough to where we, quote-unquote, like our, quote-unquote, day jobs.
Pretty much.
My point is that if you're going to these festivals as a music consumer first, then you're pretty much right.
Yeah.
If you're going to these festivals the way I think a lot of people are, but they just don't think of themselves as like experience first, then the music...
It's very good as an experience.
Music takes kind of a backstep to that, because, like, it's like repetitive and it's a similar thing, but you kind of want that repetitiveness, because at least for me, when I'm in a rave setting, I'm, like, kind of chatting and talking and dancing with other people and meeting other people. It's always nice to know that... Is that Buster Straight?
Muck Fetro, dude. Is broken over. That is amazing.
Nothing is more depressing than seeing a Metro local bus just pulled over to the side of the freeway, which they aren't really supposed to go on most of the time. Except for the Silver Line, which Metro still is trying to tell me is a train. It's fucking not. Anyways.
It's not a train.
I was making a point. But if people, like, if I'm at a concert and I'm interacting with people and I'm talking to people and, like, there's a drop coming on, it's like, okay, we're not really talking anymore. We're just, like, dancing and having fun. Like, it matters less that there's variation in the music, but it matters more that, like, it's there and you can dance and you can party and you can interact with other people.
Well, that's...
And I think the people who are less critical than you, and even me sometimes, are people who go there purely for the experience. But that won't, like, register to us completely, because we're taking this... The podcast is called Audio Face. We're not Culture Face, although sometimes it feels like it. But, like, we're taking this from a perspective of good music. We want to hear good music. We want to hear good music get better. And... Like, these
it's
shows,
not about the experience, you know, for this.
The experience is secondary.
Yeah.
I think a live experience is good. Because, for example, if I were to rate Porter Robinson and say Porter Robinson had a pretty good show, but the visuals, like, really made it an excellent experience, then I'm not going to subtract from that if I'm talking about the music of it. Because I think, especially with Gorillaz, especially with a band like Radiohead, music and visuals can go hand in hand. So visuals, extrapolating that as a part of the experience, I think it's still relevant to talk about. But... You're pretty much always music first, and I am pretty much usually to always music first. But for a lot of people who maybe, like, oh yeah, I want to see these people or, like, these shows.
But they're not, like, going there specifically for them.
Yeah. They're a lot of it just kind of going for an experience. And I think that's more common in electronic music as well.
Yeah. No, that's what I see most of the time. It makes sense. A lot of people go because they want to wear some loose leaf crazy outfit thing and just have fun. Well, I'm not, like, bashing on it.
Yeah, you're not judging. I know you're not judging, because I've you worn a light version of some of this shit, too.
No, we had a hard summer, and I put on some crazy glasses and a hat and red pants.
Refractor glasses,
red Tom York pants.
And the glasses that take in, just for the audience, the glasses that take in light and bend it. So what you see in the glasses is, like, this weird kind of color mix. Especially when there's bright white lights.
Oh my god, that was mental. Because since I don't partake in the drugs, as my counterpart likes to
allegedly
partake in
from time to time,
you know, on Tuesdays. put the
days
glasses
not
on.
Named Tuesday.
What?
All the days that aren't Tuesdays. No, but as you're saying,
yeah, it's more of a those, that type of EDM, I should say, is more of really an experience. You're not going for the music, a lot of the people. And I get what you mean, because that's what happened when we went to Hard Summer. Because I didn't know that type of crowd. Because I was coming from the house scene, where it's like a lot of guys are going because there are people who want to do it for the experience, but you have to search it out to find the damn places.
Yeah.
Because you go out to see the artists. You know, I go out to hear Scream, you know, to hear my guys. No Wigger to Play if you want to bring it back a couple of years. And a couple others, but you go out to really listen to what you want to with EDM, especially in a big EDM festival. Yeah, it's for the experience.
Yeah,
more or less, because you just kind of float from station to station, and hear what you like, and then you know chill with some people usually. So
yeah,
I get what you mean with that. And you go all goes to the original point of fucking see live music, people. It's great.
Yeah.
Except don't see Kendrick Lamar, because apparently it's really bad. But
the headbreak! Your boy's seeing Kendrick Lamar tomorrow, buddy.
I know, that's exactly why I said that.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to see what you say about it.
Yeah.
Because I've had three people I know have seen it, and they didn't like it. So I want to have your genuine opinion on it. So
and you know what?
And you're coming in with, like, no expectations.
Yeah, so, like I mean, I have the expectation that, like, Kendrick Lamar is one of the best rappers of this generation, and I hope his, like, live shows are good.
Right.
But, yeah, you've had three people who said Kendrick Lamar is not that good live. I actually had a coworker just today tell me that, like, she saw Kendrick before and wasn't that great. It could just be that, like, these people we're talking about saw them earlier. Well, they did. Saw him earlier in his career, and he had yet to figure out his stage presence, because
that happens.
What the normals don't really know is that, like, being on stage and being engaging on stage is not something that comes naturally to most people.
Mm-mm.
At all. Mm-mm. Like, just as someone has to look confident and, like, be a good actor in an acting situation for, like, a film, you also have to, like, have a good enough stage presence so, like, people really want to see you. Like, I would really want to see Run the Jewels again when they come out with a new album, because seeing Killer Mike and LP, like, they feel, it's like you're watching brothers have fun on stage.
Right, yeah.
Radiohead, just like these, like, kooky weirdos dancing.
Really weird, awkward guys just having the times of their lives. Like, the best thing was when Johnny gave Tom the thumbs up. He's like, Johnny, okay? They didn't say nothing, just put his thumbs up. Like that's
vicious, like, with a force motion in his arm, just like, on, like, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Like in a cartoon. Like a bing!
Yeah. Like stuff like that.
Passing by the arena of the Carson Rams.
Well, Carson Rams coming to you very soon.
Carson Rams coming to you sooner than the Raiders.
Oh, man.
For more horrible sports, actually for better sports takes, you should go to the We Made a Podcast on the Syndicate 23 Network that actually fell in NBA players. And
that
which
really cool.
players in those leagues you would put on, like, you would draft onto
a
your
soccer
team. And it was very thoughtful how Caesar and Bam thought out,
really,
like, how
cool.
you put them
I
on
love
the teams.
That. Where they're picking different position NFL players, saying who would be a good nine, who would be a good goalie.
Yo, I don't give a shit. Back. Shaq is my goalie at all times.
What?
Shaq is my goalie at all times. That's what goalie. I need is my goalie. Long arms. Nothing going through him. Like, that's exactly what I need.
Missing all the free throws, but you're good.
No free throws in soccer. You're good. You're
exactly. He's never taking
you're
penalty
straight.
Kicks or free kicks. He's good.
You could even have a good career leaving soccer and going to, like, do nothing else with the rest of your career, just like Shaq.
And making some really weird shoes and sell them at Payless for $20.
I mean, David Beckham's a straight underwear model for H&M, and he's still killing it.
Yeah, but except he was one of the best players ever to grace the pitch.
Well, we never gave Shaq a chance.
He was good with the magic, but anyway.
This is a music podcast, which reminds me of the fact that Shaq had a music career.
I was about to say that. Damn it. I was going to segue to that. Oh, God.
Shaq's music career. We could do an episode on that.
Oh, no.
But we won't, because it's really not worth it.
Because that would get us banned from
Shaq Fu. I just don't want to be penned as one of those I'm with Barkley people, because I really actually hate Charles Barkley.
We both hate Charles Barkley with passion.
Free Sepp Blatter, replace him with Charles Barkley. If you don't understand any of these jokes, you should listen to the Syndicate 23 podcast. We made it. We made it.syndicate23.co. It's available on all or most
We're
or
plugging
all
up
the
hard.
Good podcast platforms. Content. But yeah, I never really argued with your point too much about you should go see bands live. And I think, yeah, you should. But there are certain points where, like, I guess I'm questioning the judgment of why you want to go see them live or why you want to do it. But through different nuances, I can kind of figure out why people would. But more or less, you usually shouldn't.
Yeah. But just, anyways.
Also, just, like, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, live your life.
Smoke in the air. You're good.
Just enjoy it before the nukes drop.
And on that note, I think
and that's been a great episode of Audio Face. Thank you all for listening. I'm sorry there... Well, it's not my fault. But yeah, there wasn't really a lot of, like, music news this week.
And I'm sorry that my internet went zub-zub and we had to record this on the fly coming back.
Translation, the music industry is sorry that there is no music for you. And Frontier is sorry that they're such a shitty cable provider. Yeah. Elon Musk, when are you going to get in that ISP game?
Right? When am I going to get that underground
cable? Get that Tesla internet.
When am I going to get that... Test the fiber coming to my house.
Yeah, like once they install those like underground tubes in Los Angeles that are probably not gonna happen for 30 years. Just like run some fiber through those.
Right.
It'll be straight. No, but yeah, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on social media so you can see the other things that we do. I'm on Instagram at Dan from the Internet and on Twitter at Dan from the Web, where you can catch me subtweeting politicians. And Sean, meanwhile, in your glorious neoliberal life.
In my normal neoliberal life, you know, chatting with bankers. Now, you can follow me at everything at SW Suarez, where I just chat about my triathlon, intermittent travels, and training. And that's about it.
Yeah. Well, we actually only have 12 minutes more in this car ride. Pretty good job.
That's pretty good.
All right. Great podcast. We killed it.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Panda?